The following sermon was delivered to Christ Central Church in order to further our knowledge and adoration of who God is. We pray that it displays the hope found in Christ and strengthens your faith in Him.
If you have a copy of God's Word, would you join me? John chapter 3. Maybe it should just sort of fall open there by now. We still have a number of weeks left in John 3. We'll read together verse 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We started this section of John 3 last week as we looked together at the first four words of John 3:16. For God so loved. And we considered what it means and how it is that God loves. What does it mean that God is love? What does it mean that God has so loved? What are the ways in which God loves? To set the stage for the rest of the verse, which we will finish today, John chapter 3, verse 16. Martin Luther says that this verse is the whole Bible in miniature. And that probably is why it is easily the most well-known, the most celebrated, most memorized, the most loved verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has loved because God is love. It's in His nature to love. And His love is not at odds with His sovereignty. His love is not at odds with His justice. His love is not at odds with His wrath. That was last week. This morning, we want to consider even more of this love of God. This is what Jesus is telling us. He is telling us how God has loved. For God so loved. That so there is the how His love has taken shape. How we've been able to see most clearly, most evidently, His love. This is how He's loved us. This is what it looks like. So this morning, as we finish verse 16, I want us to consider together six aspects of the love of God. Six aspects of the love of God. First is that His love is unmerited. It's unmerited. We see that in the phrase, for God so loved the world. Second, we want to see that His love is giving. His love is giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. Thirdly, His love is sacrificing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Fourth, his love is wide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him, his love is wide. And then fifthly, his love is forgiving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. And then lastly, his love is life-giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. His love is unmerited, his love is giving, his love is sacrificing, his love is wide, his love is forgiving, and his love is life-giving. John chapter 3, verse 16. His love is merited or unmerited, for God so loved the world, Jesus says. The world. Now, when we hear or say or read these words, for God so loved the world, I think the most natural way for us to think of this worldwide love of God is to think that this love encompasses all people. That when Jesus says, for God so loved the world, that what Jesus means when he says that is that God has love for everyone in the world. For God so loved the world. And that is absolutely true. God certainly has love for all of his creation. We talked about that last week when we considered all of the ways that God has loved and that God has a love for all of his creation. He certainly does have that kind of love. But when this word for world is used, it does carry with it some other understandings. And they're not at odds or against a love that encompasses all people. But it does, when we understand the other ways in which this word is used, it does help us understand a meaning that is even deeper than the fact that God loves all people. The word here is cosmos. It's used in a number of ways. And at times it's used to describe all people. At times it's used to describe the earth. But especially in the New Testament, it takes on a little bit of a different meaning. And it comes to mean and to describe a realm that is against God. In the New Testament, very regularly, when the word is used, it's used to describe this realm that has set itself up against God. When the world is spoken of, it is almost always spoken of in negative terms, in terms of judgment, in terms of condemnation. I'm going to give you just a few examples from the Gospel of John where we see this. In John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the rulers of this world be cast out. That there is for the world a judgment. John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus' implication then is that the world dwells in deep darkness. You've heard that language before. That's Old Testament language. The world dwells in deep darkness, and that Jesus has come as light into a dark world. Darkness is emblematic of sin and emblematic of a lack of the of the presence and power of God. It is into this dark world that Jesus stepped. In John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." Who or what has hated Jesus? The world has hated Jesus. If the world hates you, know that it first hated me. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world has set itself up against Jesus. The world has set itself up against God. The world has set itself up against those who love Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 8 says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." In John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus says, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one." Why? Because the world is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And in verse 18, "And you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." You see, this language of world can mean, and indeed it does mean regularly. That's just John. It's all over the place. The whole of creation that has set itself up against God. That's the world. Those who are set up in opposition against God. Those who hate Him. Those are the ones He's loved. Here's what that means for us when Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." And we understand that when Jesus says those words, He doesn't primarily mean this beautiful, idyllic setting filled with beautiful, worthy people who deserve love. No, when Jesus says, "For God so loved the world," what He means is all of those who together in their sin have set themselves up in opposition against Him and have hated Him, that those are the ones that God loves. What it means is that He doesn't love us because we deserve it. Amen. His love towards us is altogether and in every way unmerited. It's unmerited. Church, we need to put to death this notion that God has loved the world because the world is lovable. That God has loved us because we are lovable. His love towards us is altogether unmerited. B.B. Warfield says that world is not here a term of extension, meaning wideness, encompassing, all-encompassing, as much as a term of intensity. In other words, it's not about how wide God has loved. It's about how intense He has loved. Its primary connotation is ethical. And the point of its employment is not to suggest that the world is so big that it takes a great deal of love to embrace it all, but that the world is so bad that it takes a great kind of love to love it all, and much more to love it as God has loved it when He gave His Son for it. The world represents sinful humanity, and it is, and we are, not worthy of God's saving love. And apart from the love of God, the world stands under God's right and just condemnation. But in Christ Jesus, believers experience God's surprising, redeeming, and never-ending love that is altogether unmerited. For God so loved the world, those who in their sin have set themselves up against Him. Because this love of God is an unmerited love, it then by its very nature is a giving love. By its very nature, it is a gracious love. If we don't deserve it, and yet He has chosen instead to love us, it means by its very nature, God is a gracious God, and in His graciousness, He gives to us. That's what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that He gave. That the love of God is experienced towards the world in His giving. That His love is described as a giving love. In the Greek, there are four kinds of love. You've probably heard some of them, at least. One is a familiar love. That's the Greek word storge or storge. I made a C in Greek. It's a familiar love. A love you have towards a brother, parent. Then there is another word that's used for love, and that's eros. That's a romantic love. Love you feel towards your spouse. Then there is a friendly love. This is Philadelphia, Philo. It's a friendly love. And then there is agape love. Agape love is this deep, abounding, gracious, giving love. That's agape. That's the kind of love that God has towards this world. That's the kind of unmerited love He has. He has a love that is deep and abiding and giving. That's the word used here. Agape love is a love that isn't based on what we get from someone. There's a whole lot that considers itself to be love and parades itself around as love, but is not real love because it's a love that's based on what we can get from someone else. Agape love is not based on what you receive from someone else. It is solely based on out of what you freely give to someone else because they don't even deserve it. But you choose to love them instead, and the exercising of that love is a gracious giving. This is the kind of love that God has towards the world. God doesn't just love in word, but God has loved in deed. God has loved in action. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. His love is seen in His willingness to give, to be gracious, even though we don't deserve it. God's love towards us is an unmerited, gracious love, a love in which He gives. Now, what is it that God gives? How is this love expressed in His giving? What is His giving? Well, we can all agree that God has a whole lot of resources. God has a whole lot to give. Psalm 50, verse 10 says, "For every beast," this is God, "for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine." This is in reference to coming before Him with sacrifices, thinking that they in some way please God. And God is saying, "What good? You're giving me what's mine. I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills already." God owns the cattle and the hills that they are on. In Psalm 50, verse 12, it says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine. The world is his, and the fullness thereof is his. Psalm 24, verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. All of the world, all of creation, belongs to God as creator. So his resources are great. We can all agree with that, right? His resources are immense. So when we say that God so loved the world that he gave, God has a whole lot at his disposal to give. His possessions, his resources are limitless. Yet, the extent of his love towards us isn't the things that he has in abundance. No, the extent of his love that he has freely given us out of his graciousness, even though we don't deserve it, is his, Jesus says, only Son. God's love towards us is a sacrificing love. It's a sacrificing love. He gave his only Son. I don't think it's a stretch to try and to understand the depth of this kind of sacrificing love by relating it to our own children. I'm a dad, I have some children. I'm a dad, I have an only son. And even though, unlike Christ, our children are not perfect, we love them with a deep and an abiding love that is deeper than the love that we have for others. Right? I love all of you, most all of you. I love all of you. But the love that I have for my children is a deeper kind of love. Nature knows no greater love than a parent for his or her child. Well, Jesus is God's only child. Jesus is God the Father's only child. And God loves him deeply. We talked last week how there is, first and foremost, when we consider the love of God, that there is an inter-Trinitarian love where God has a special love for Jesus and Jesus has a special love for God. And the Father's love towards Jesus is the love of the Father towards his only Son that we know, but multiplied by eternity. Let me ask you a question here. Who would sacrifice their son for a friend? I love a lot of you. I'm not sacrificing my child for you. I don't expect you to sacrifice your child for me. Who would sacrifice their child for a friend? You know, there's even a greater question to ask. Who would sacrifice their child for an enemy? You see, God didn't just give his son sacrificially towards his friends. God gave his son sacrificially towards his enemies. We were his enemy. Our sin had set ourselves up against him. God sent his son into the world as a sacrifice for his enemies. God could not possibly love this world any better or any deeper than he has in giving his only son. There is no greater love than that. than a gracious, unmerited, sacrificial love of your only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave. And how did God give Him? God sent Him. God sent His only Son, with whom He had dwelled in perfect harmony and peace and glory and majesty and radiance and worship for all of eternity. God sent His Son here to come in our nature. God gave His Son to come in our nature, meaning that God gave His Son, glorious, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-radiant, eternal. God gave His Son to come in our nature, meaning to come in weakness and in suffering. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He means that He was sent with one mission. And that is to take on our sin so that He may give His life as a ransom for many. J.C. Ryle says that Christ is God the Father's gift to a lost and sinful world. That He was given generally to be the Savior, the Redeemer, the friend of sinners, to make an atonement that is sufficient for all, to provide a ransom large enough for all. To effect this, the Father freely gave Him up to be despised, rejected, mocked, crucified, and counted guilty and accursed for our sake. When we read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, we read it in light of the cross. That's what Jesus means. God gave Him as a sacrifice. Richard Phillips says, so great is His love that if our redemption from sin required the torturous death of His only Son, even the outpouring of His own wrath on His most beloved child, that God was willing to give Him for that purpose. God's love is unmerited. God's love is gracious. God's love is a sacrificing love beyond anything we could ever imagine. And God's love is a wide one. So if we consider, for God so loved the world in terms of the realm of opposition against God, that does not negate the fact that God's love is a worldwide love. And we see it, as Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that whoever, God's love is a wide love. God's love is so wide that His saving love, we made that distinction last week, His saving love extends to all who receive it in faith. All. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whosoever, I want you to notice something here. There is a qualifier, isn't there? What is it? That believes. You see, His love, His saving, sacrificing, gracious, unmerited love extends to those that believe in Him. It extends to all that believe in Him. Now, that statement would have been pretty radical to a Jew in Jesus' day. They believed that God's saving love is exercised only towards the Jew. God's saving love is exercised towards those who are in the covenant with God. But Jesus has come and given Himself as a ransom, as a sacrifice, because God loves with a unmerited, gracious, sacrificing love. God loves all tribes, all tongues, and all nations. His love is so wide that it encompasses any and all who believe in Him. You see, God's promise to Abraham was that through his offspring, all the nations would be blessed. That offspring is Jesus Christ. He is the promised offspring, and in Him, all of the nations are blessed, because any and all, whosoever believes in Him, will be saved. God's promise to Abraham was that all the nations would be blessed through his offspring. Christ's command is to go into all the nations and make disciples. And the revelation, the vision of heaven given to John is one where all nations come before the throne of God and worship. Revelation 5:13, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in the sea, and all that is in them saying," who does that encompass? That leave anybody out? "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory forever and might forever and ever." God's love is a wide love. It's so wide that it encompasses and includes every single person, anyone, tribe, tongue, nation, age, gender, social status, race, anyone and everyone who believes in Him is saved. Jesus said it Himself in John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Never, never. Church, when Jesus says whoever, He means whoever. Whoever. There's not a person in all of history that has come to Jesus Christ in faith and has been rejected by Him. Not a person. Because His love is a wide love. His saving love extends to all who believe in Him. There is a qualifier. We are not universalists. Meaning, I don't believe, the Bible does not teach, that every person who's ever lived is going to heaven. They are not. Every person who ever lived is not going to heaven. There are a great many. As a matter of fact, wide is the road to destruction, and many find it, who will find themselves condemned before a holy God. That His saving love, His unmerited, gracious, sacrificing love is extended towards those who come to Jesus in faith. That is the only way. That is the only way to receive it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish." That means that His love is a forgiving love. A forgiving love. His love is experienced and extended through faith in Jesus Christ, His only Son, sacrificed on our behalf out of God's unmerited gracious love towards us. It is experienced in His forgiving of our sin so that we do not perish. That means that inherently, we are destined to perish. All are destined to perish. And that outside of faith in Jesus Christ, outside of God's unmerited, gracious, sacrificing love, we would perish. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And the judgment of God awaits the sinner. And there is only one way to escape that fate, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. God's love is extended towards us as a forgiving love that removes the punishment of death, which of sin, which is death. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. And instead of perishing, instead of receiving the condemnation that your sin deserves, instead of receiving the death, instead, you receive God's life-giving love. You see, it's one thing to say you will not perish. It's a whole other thing to say, instead, you will live forever. Those don't mean the same things. You could not perish for now. It's not a momentary saving. It's an eternal one. Not only will you not perish, but you will receive eternal life. God's love is a life-giving love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That God's love in Jesus Christ is expressed towards us in His freely giving to us a forgiveness. That is, His mercy, not giving us what we deserve. That's mercy. We deserve to perish, but God is merciful, therefore we don't perish. It's not giving us what we deserve, and instead giving us what we don't deserve. That's His grace. Life eternal with Him. First John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us." Meaning, this is how God's love was made visible, was made tangible, was made experiential. Remember, God is love. Therefore, love is one of God's attributes. God is invisible. Therefore, His attributes are invisible. Therefore, His love is invisible because God is invisible. But God chose to make His love visible so that we could see it, experience it, know it, understand it. And He did it by making manifest among us His love. And what was it? That God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9. His love was made manifest among us, that God sent His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. It is through Jesus and only through Jesus that we have life eternal. There is no eternal life in religion. There is no eternal life in works. You can't do enough. You can't say enough. You can't pray enough. You can't work enough. You can't love God enough. You cannot be sincere enough. You can't attend church enough. You can't take communion enough. You can't be a good dad enough or a good mother enough. You can't do a thing. I can't do a thing. Why? Because I'm part of the world. God in His grace sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to redeem the world through Him. And in His love, He has forgiven us of our sins and graciously given us eternal life. And that life is only in Jesus Christ. That's it. He is the greatest expression of love mankind has ever known. How has God loved us? He's loved us with an unmerited love. He's loved us with a giving, gracious love. He's loved us with a sacrificing love, His only Son. His only Son. He's loved us with forgiving love. He's loved us with a life-giving love. That's how God has loved us. That's what, church, that's what this week means. Now, every week should mean those things. But this is a special week in our calendars where we consider together the extent of God's love towards us in giving His Son for us, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting, eternal life with Him. That's what this week is all about. My hope for you, my encouragement for you is this week, every day, consider in your hearts and in your mind, consider the love that God has shown towards us in giving His Son. Reflect on it. May your faith be built upon it and encouraged by it. Would we celebrate it together Friday as we join together for Good Friday service to consider the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross? And Sunday as we worship in celebration our risen Savior who has eternal life. Therefore, He can give eternal life to all who believe in Him. Father, what very good news it is. Certainly, the whole of the Bible in one verse. You so loved the world that You gave Your only Son so that whoever believes in You would not perish but have eternal life. No greater love than this. No greater love. For Your enemies. For Your enemies You gave. So that we could go from darkness to light, so that we could go from enemies, not just to friends, but to brothers, to co-heirs. So that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. May we believe in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Christ Central Church sermon series. To find our gathering location and more sermons, visit ChristCentralChurch.net.